feel like you need to call in the exorcist. But that's, so what that gives you at 1,000 frames per second is something in, you're familiar with, you all know what a Kia is, you've seen Kias, but you're seeing it in a way you've never seen it before. And that informs you, because your brain processes images at a different frame rate, normally. So 1,000 frames per second, you're seeing something your brain has never seen before. And that creates a visual impact. The other thing we bought recently are some Iconics cameras, which are tiny little HD cameras that you can put on a long pole up to 6 meters long or a jib arm, and you can actually get in really close to wildlife. And again, it gives you an intimacy that you can't get with a human being with a damn great camera on their shoulder being right there next to the poor old kiwi, as you're about to see. Kiwi gets the worm. The bird gets the worm. Now I'm just going to confer with Peter a moment. I'm obviously running horribly over here. My timing was horrendous. So would you like me to jump ahead or keep going for a wee while?
Do you want to go to Doug?
Yeah. Okay. The other area that is in science communication, particularly in television, that has moved along at a frantic rate is CGI, computer graphics. And that's another area which we have, been in the front line of developing a new look in. And I'm going to show you now a clip from a show we did for Animal Planet called Dark Days in Monkey City, which is a totally different look and feel to anything we've done in CGI before. So if Peter could find that and take us into that, that'd be great. Style with gothic tones. So for this series we filmed with a macaque troop of monkeys in Sri Lanka, shooting behaviour that had been observed and meticulously recorded over decades by a primatologist. We filmed the monkeys both against real backgrounds and against the green screen. That way we could composite the live action with 3D CGI. The behaviour is real, but the environment is a mix of real and imaginary. We then created stories based on actual macaque characters in the troop, but embellished and dramatised the location and the events. Is it natural history? Certainly not in a classical or purist sense. Does it show actual animal behaviour? Yes. Are the stories we constructed based on scientific observation? Yes. But it undoubtedly pushes the boundaries in telling science stories. I'm going to now show you a clip from another show, which is just literally hot off the press, hasn't been shown yet. And this was one we made in China about the Sichuan earthquake, which is not an aftermath story, it's a science story, and this is what National Geographic particularly wanted. So what I want you to look at here is the combination of live action footage we shot, archive, some of which was shot on obviously cell phones or handycams, and computer graphics. And I want you to look and see if you can see the difference or tell the difference between them, those three areas.
The 2008 China quake. Terror of the Richter scale. A deadly force of nature that struck without warning. Now, in the aftermath, a unique opportunity to crack the code of megaquakes. An international team of experts hits ground zero, searching for clues to help save lives in the future whenever killer quakes strike.
I can only compare it to 9/11.
These people are living in a ticking time bomb.
Uncovering the truth about the day the Earth wouldn't stand still. Intense investigation by a team of scientists. They've come here from around the world to unlock the mysteries of a disaster like no other. May 12, 2008. A magnitude 7.9 earthquake strike Sichuan, releasing a surge of seismic energy, the equivalent of 3,000 atomic bombs, or 50 million tons of TNT. In 120 unforgiving seconds, the quake leaves a trail of devastation over 100,000 square kilometers, an area the size of South Korea.
So, I'd be interested to know, we don't unfortunately have time, but I'd love to go around and actually see how many of you could pick their CGI shots there. The thing about CGI now, it has become so convincing, and because it's now rendered in high definition, HD, it has the same sort of quality as the footage around it, or in fact sometimes better, that it can be quite hard to tell the difference. It raises some interesting questions. We did it, because we wanted to represent the terrifying experience of what happened. But how dangerous is it that you can have CGI filling the gap between reality, the real reality, and constructed reality? Potentially, of course, it is very dangerous, which is why the annotation process that our programs are subject to, however nitpicky and time-consuming, play a vital role in keeping program makers honest. The UK Minister for Science, Lord Drayson, said in a recent debate on science journalism in Britain, this is slightly abridged, we have to support sensationalism in science journalism to cut through the noise. But the science has to be good science. And that sums up pretty neatly the fulcrum that science communicators constantly balance upon. A fine point between selling the story and telling good science. With all the current economic and financial pressures on the media, we're challenged daily to maintain that balance. To tell great science stories passionately but honestly. Entertainingly but accurately. With excitement but with integrity. Thank you very much for bearing with me, and sorry if I've run over and eaten into your tea time. Thank you very much.